4309 or ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, a good guy who is always kept busy because of some folks down in Columbus. I'm referring to Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. And, boy, you started that off right. It seems like that there's always people in Columbus that always want to give labor people something to do.
I mean, a super, I mean, this was an Excedrin week, no doubt about that. I mean, a major headache. And for what? I don't understand it. Why don't you just run it down? We covered it yesterday through some wire reports, but you were right in the middle of things. Tell me what happened.
Basically, there's a bill in committee. I think it's the insurance committee. There's a bill that's being talked about with residency requirements. And they wanted to vote and pass that bill out of that committee. And basically what it would do is it would outlaw cities, municipalities, counties from having residency requirements on construction projects. Let's say if Cuyahoga County had a convention center, and they wanted 20% local participation, mm-hmm. then that bill would outlaw that residency requirement, okay? So I can see both sides of it. I'm against it. Personally, I'm against it. I can see both sides of it. You know, some people think it's too intrusive, but I like the idea of the city of Cleveland or Cuyahoga County or whoever that wants to help employ their local residents. I like the idea of residency requirements. That's okay. Just me. So they attached a rider to it, SB 152, and why they would attach this rider to that bill is crazy. But Ron Hood, our great Republican friend, you know, a true patriot of the working class. Now, that's sarcasm.
Well, I know it is.
Yeah, he attached a rider, Subbill 152, that banned project labor agreements on any work in the state of Ohio that had taxpayer funding on it. So it came out of committee. It was voted along party lines. It passed 8-3. I got to thank Representatives Heather Bischoff, Mike Curtin, Kristen Boggs, three all-star Democrats that voted against it. Still came out of committee. And then as I'm working with all three of them, texting, calling, everything, you know, I'm like, well, so is this going to be next week? Is it going to be next month? You know, when is this going to be voted on in the House? And they're like, oh, probably about an hour. and sure enough, it was voted on in the House where it was passed 51-42. Now, I've got to commend a couple of other friends in the House. And one of them I saw that morning in an AFL-CIO Central Labor Council screening, Representative Stephanie Kunze, who's running for the Ohio Senate this year. And she's and Ann Gonzalez, all three Republicans, they voted against their party, and they voted against banning PLA. So they were three of the 42 that voted against it, but it passed and came out of the House. And in the screening, I asked Representative Kunze, who's going to be soon to be Senator Kunze, and I said, Representative, this is coming up to, you know, very soon. How are you? She's like, I'm for PLAs. I'm for project labor agreements. I think they're a great, useful tool. She goes, I'm against it. I'm going to vote against it. Sure enough, she drove down to the State House, and she voted against it. So, mm-hmm. you know, she and Gonzalez and Duffy are to be commended. I really appreciate that. So then it went to the Senate, where, of course, our firewall was put to the test. And in the Senate, the Republican majority is 23-10, and they voted against it 25-8.
Wow.
So it failed. And again, you know, kudos to the 25 that voted against it, because it was a terrible piece of legislation. And, you know, Senator Jim Hughes here in Columbus, very good friend of labor, who's term limited, and he's going back to the House where he hopes to continue his efforts supporting working people and organized labor. And we talked in his screening this week about that. Of course, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to vote against it, which he did. And he also talked about his thoughts on building a labor caucus, because he feels that, you know, a branch of his party, the Republican Party, needs to do a better job representing organized labor, and I think he's going to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that are going to go to the House that are going to be in that caucus that are going to be led by Jim Hughes, and he's a great friend of labor.
This is just amazing to me, and this has come up. I mean, and we say this on the show all the time. Didn't they learn from SB 5? You should not be going down this road. You don't do that in the state of Ohio, but still – They try to every possible way to sneak some anti-worker language in, and once again they tried and they failed, which is a good thing. But here's my question to you, Dorsey. I mean, when's this going to happen again? I mean, is this something we have to be on the lookout all the time?
I don't see it happening again right away. Now, I could be wrong, because who can predict what a lot of those people down there think? But But you're right. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I can remember getting a call at midnight and being down there for a committee hearing at 8 a.m., sitting down in those, you know, and I've talked about them on your show, those terrible, uncomfortable wooden chairs, which I think they're made like that for a reason, but sitting in that uncomfortable chair, settling in and getting ready to hear the hearing, and then getting a text and saying, oh, by the way, we're not voting on this today because, you know, the speaker doesn't feel like that the Republicans have the votes in the House to pass it, so we're not going to take it out of committee today. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me get up and get back to what I was doing, representing, you know, the people that paid me to represent them, I guess, you know. But so it's constant. It's constant. I can't understand it. You know what I mean? I can't understand it. And the thing is, and I know I've used this analogy in the past, it's like things are going good in Ohio. You know, unemployment is down. People looking to employ people is up. You know, projects are being built here. Money's being spent. You know, the recovery is happening, and wages are finally starting to creep up. You know, we have an organizing committee meeting today, and our organizers talk about going out and talking to open shop employees that are working for open shop employers, and they're talking about how they're getting raises because their open shop employers are paying them more money to keep them and to keep them from joining the unions because they know they have to because the unions are full of work and that we're going to need people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to go to Florida and Kentucky and Michigan and Indiana to get welders. I mean, we'll help our union brothers that are out of work and let them come here and work. But we want to get the welders that are right here in our backyard that are working against us every day, and the electricians and the fitters and the insulators, and bring them into our ranks and let them make, you know, union scale and benefits on every project, not just prevailing wage projects.
Right.
You know, so wages are starting to go up. And the recovery's going, and then you have some people down there, the Ron Hoods, the Ron Youngs, the Mags, the Brinkmans, that it's like they're the chubby little kid on the side of the road eating ice cream. That's when the bike comes by, they want to stick their stick in the spokes and kind of slow things down. And I don't understand it. I really don't.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
and you know what's sad? People keep reelecting these folks. You know, that's got to stop. Even with on the term situation, you know, they'll spend some time in the House, then they'll go to the Senate. When they're termed out there, they'll go back to the House. So it's like it's constant. That's the sad part about this.
Yeah, and that's why. And I think we've done a great job statewide. I think we're starting to do a better job here in Central Ohio of identifying our friends on both sides of the aisle and really working with them, sticking up for them, having their back. Because let's take it, you know, let's face it, I make unpopular decisions all the time, mm-hmm. but they're decisions that I feel are in the best interest of my membership,
right.
my unions that I represent, and my contractors. And I have no problem doing what's right, you know, even if it's unpopular, because that's the example of true leadership. And we have friends, like I said, in the Senate, and Jimmy Hughes, in the House, you know, Mike Duffy, that are doing that every day, and I'm sure that they're taking a little, you know, little grief from their, you know, some of their constituents and some of the people they work with, but they're doing what they think is right, and we've got to support them, and I think that's what we're starting to do a better job of, and I hope they understand that.
Good point. Well, we'll get into some politics a little bit later, but right now let's talk about this paper plant. I see that as one of the talking points, and also NTE Energy. Can you explain this for me?
Yeah, we're going to talk about two separate jobs and kind of give you both sides of the argument here. Sofidel Paper Plant. Sofidel is a company out of Italy, and they're looking to expand in the North American market. And the way to do that is they want to build a paper plant in Pickaway County, which is one county south of Franklin County here in Columbus, Central Ohio. Now, this is about a $270 million project with the site work and the six buildings. It's going to be, like I said, about $270 million, and they want to have this done in 18 months.
Ooh.
So obviously we've been trying to reach out to them, have conversations with them about what we can do as union labor to help them get this job done on time and under budget and done safely also. That's a big point that I forget sometimes. I fail. We in the union trades take safety for granted, and I know we shouldn't. You know what I mean? I know we shouldn't. But that's, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, and safety. And I said, you're right. I always forget safety because that's important. Our members going to work, putting in a good 8-10 hours of productive day and then going home and being with their families. That's what it's all about. But we don't have as many accidents as the ABC contractors do. So maybe I take safety for granted a little bit. But that's it. You know, on time, you know, efficiently, done safely, and save money and under budget. So we've been trying to have discussions with Sofidel, and maybe it's because they're Italian, or maybe they're not, you know, how things are here in America or whatever. And we haven't really had good discussions about PLAs or what we can do and how they can benefit them. But here's the bottom line, and I've had this conversation with contractors. Here's the bottom line. They're going to need our people. $270 million project in 18 months. That's $15 million worth of construction per month done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Acme Plumbing is not going to be able to do that.
No,
you know,
they're not.
ABC Electric is not going to be able to find 300 electricians to do that work. It's not going to happen. Our people are going to be on that project. But we like to, you know, have them sharing the input of what we're going to do with the PLA? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, our people are going to be on that project. Now I'll segue into the power plant, the NTE. The NTE is kind of a funny story. NTE Energy was looking at a power plant in Pickaway County about 6 to 9 months ago. We talked about this on your show. And I reached out to Congressman Stivers. I reached out to Representative Shearer, two people who represent that area of the county in Congress and in the State House. And I said, listen, I said, I know this is unpopular. I know your constituents are against this. This is huge for Pickaway County. This is huge for your people, jobs, increasing the tax base. You know, if you're out there trying to get NTE Energy to build in Pickaway County and the people are against it and you need me to bring some of my building trades members, even members that are your constituents who live in your county, to help you get this, you know, sold, or to take some of the grief off you, let me know. I'm a phone call away.
Mm-hmm.
They were very appreciative. So I met with somebody about 3 weeks ago, and I asked them about this project, and they said, that thing is dead. That is deader than dead. That thing is so dead, it's dead. And I'm like, all right, I got you. So I told a couple of our agents and managers. They were disappointed. And then I'm driving home Friday night. It was a week ago, Friday night, and I'm driving home, and a friend of mine that's a contractor, and he happens to be a resident of Pickaway County, he calls me at 5 o'clock. He says, what do you think about this NTE Energy power plant? I said, that thing's dead. He goes, it's not what the Circleville Herald's reporting. And he, you know, obviously sent me the article. And here they are. They've been having back-channel communications. They've agreed to build it. They've got their site pick. It's going to be a billion-dollar project. The state and national building trades has a great relationship with the plant in Butler County down by Cincinnati right now. That's about $600 million that is under a project labor agreement. And I would assume that we're going to have these same conversations with them. And I'm very hopeful that we'll have a project labor agreement on this. And it's going to be $1 billion worth of building trades work for my members there in Pickaway County. And I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. Really excited.
Oh, my God. $1 billion worth of work. And here they're telling you the project is dead.
Exactly. So, you know, obviously I went back to a few managers and agents of mine, you know, who pay my salary and I work for them with egg on my face. And they're like, what? And I'm like, so everybody was telling me, I'm sorry. And they're like, oh, it's all right. That's good news. That's good news. We're going to build this thing. So they're looking at breaking ground in 17. Construction will probably go through 2019, probably 2020. So I know we've talked about this in the past. But you talk about Sofidel. You talk about the NTE Energy plant. It's about $1.3, $1.4 billion worth of work in Pickaway County that desperately needs it, where a lot of work has not been done, where the unemployment is high and where the economy is not so well and where the recovery is lagged behind other counties in the state. Then you talk about the jail and the morgue here in Franklin County. You talk about the work that the city of Columbus is doing, including just passing a $1.3 billion capital improvement budget. And then you talk about the capital improvement budget that the state's getting ready to pass. I think my members are going to be busy here the next 3, 4, 5 years. So, and I'm getting that from my organizers, too, in committee. They tell me, like I said, they're going out on jobs. They're finding good, skilled building trades or good, you know, tradesmen that are working open shop, and they're giving them the opportunity to come in and join our ranks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
We're supposed to better the lives of everybody.
You got it. Lift all the boats. All right, Dorsey, hold that thought. I got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some politics, all right?
Sounds good.
Dorsey Hager on our live line, Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Maddie Oatman from Mother Jones Magazine also going to talk about protein in our diet. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs, because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
This is America's Workforce.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions. But we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Mr. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, Dorsey. This, as you well know, is a politically charged year. In fact, I was talking earlier about Donald Trump and how he is in favor of right to work because of various things. Well, you know, you can get stuff done on the cheap with right to work. You know, it's funny. You were talking about safety on the job in the first segment, and AFL-CIO report, Death on the Job to Commemorate Workers' Memorial Day, came out last week. We were talking about it earlier on the show, earlier in the week, about the right-to-work states. And the fact is, job safety is compromised with right-to-work. And you see more injuries, more deaths on the job in the right-to-work states. You would think, you know, when they try to push the right to work issue in states like Ohio, I know there's legislation introduced, that people would understand that kind of thing, don't you think?
And the thing is, the reason they don't understand, and maybe I need to do a better job of educating people as well, like I said, maybe I take safety for granted, but is the safety issue is this. Our contractors and our customers want a safe employee base. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do is because even injuries, cuts, scrapes, abrasions, falls, trips, even non-fatal injuries add to their bottom line and cut into their profit margin.
Absolutely.
Lost times, lost productivity, increased workers' comp rates, medical bills, insurance, all that falls into that. And, you know, there's quite a few facilities and plants that we work in. Anheuser-Busch is one here in Columbus. I've talked about on your show before in the past that I had the privilege to work there for 3 years. Anheuser-Busch, for one, refuses to take bids on maintenance or other work, you know, if a company has a workers' comp ratio that's out of whack, if they have a high injury ratio, because they do not want one of those contractors in their facility, you know. And I think that's something that even when we talk about prevailing wage, and I know we talked about project labor agreements at the beginning of the summit, even though we talk about prevailing wage, there's nothing in prevailing wage about worker safety. And I can't understand that. I mean, we have contractors right now that we deal with that are open shop contractors that are receiving work because they're lower, that have higher injury occurrence rates. And I know that it's got to be driving some of the customers in Central Ohio crazy. And they just, you know, because of the way the prevailing wage laws are now, there's nothing really they can do about it. But in a project labor agreement, among other things, I know we've talked about in the past, we can write things in there about safety, and we can write things in there about, you know, also penalties and things that if guys don't work safe, if they're not tied off, if they're not wearing their gloves when they're carrying hand tools and material, you know, things that we can do that can promote safety that all our guys do on a daily basis. So it's like getting out of bed and putting on your work boots, but things that can be in there that can help everybody on the job site.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Whole lot of sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing that we talk about when we go out and we meet with these owners and these customers.
You have to. You really do. It's an education process, and it's ongoing all the time. Every time you go, you have to bring up safety. It is job one when it comes to future construction projects. Hey, let's get into, now what is this, the Kristen Boggs bill. What's that all about?
Mike Duffy, who I talked about earlier in a segment, became a good friend of the local building trades here in organized labor. So also been working closely with the local Central Labor Council. He's frustrated, as we are, about the lack of building trades opportunities that are exposed to our high school students here in Columbus and Central Ohio. You know, he's big on education. And one thing that we forget about when we talk about education is we forget about job and employment training. You know, it's great to get a high school degree. It's great to get a college degree. But if it isn't something that puts you to work, you know, as a productive member of society, paying taxes and making a good wage with a good benefit package, then, you know, unfortunately, the education's not paying off for you. And I think that's what we're starting to see. And I know I've said this stat on your show before. I think there's about 49,000 students in Columbus Public Schools. Some 500 are exposed to vocational training. So they don't know about electrical. They don't know about welding. They don't know about sheet metal and HVAC. They don't know about carpentry. Mm-hmm. So if we can expose these kids to some of those things, either kids that have no desire to go to college or kids that maybe want to go to college, but know that maybe their parents can't afford to send them to college, or maybe even kids like I was one of these guys. I love to be outside. I love to work with my hands. I love to work around other people. I love to see projects get completed. That's the type of guy I am. That's the things I do on the weekends when I'm home with my wife. You know, and there's a lot of people like that. But if you don't learn basic carpentry skills, or you don't learn some basic skills while you're in high school, vocational skills that I think everybody should be exposed to, then those opportunities are not going to be relevant to you, and they're not going to be there when you get out of high school. And I just think that we're having a huge class of people that were graduating in high school, and they're getting out, they're getting their diplomas, and instead of being exposed to the building trades where they could go and make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year as an electrician or a welder or a plumber with a good benefit package, or maybe they could even go into IT training, work with computers, mm-hmm. make $70,000 a year with something as little as a two-year, you know, post high school degree, or even police and fire, you know. And that's the other thing we talk about. I'm starting to talk more about to people about this is, you know, the building trades, the police, the fire, and a lot of these companies here in Columbus, Central Ohio. You know, I think now that we're starting to do a better job of resembling the community in which we work in and which we represent. And that's what we have to do. And Mike Duffy has written this bill where it's going to help promote the building trades. It's going to help promote veterans. It's going to help promote, you know, different opportunities for the armed forces and different people to be able to come in and talk to these guidance counselors, these principals, these teachers, get to these kids and let them know that the opportunities that are out there for them, not just college. And I've gotten several phone calls from people on both sides of the aisle asking me my thoughts on this bill. Read the bill. I think it's a great bill. I think Representative Duffy did a heck of a job. He's right now gathering co-sponsors. One of the first people to call me was Representative Kristen Boggs, who, you know, she's a Democrat, big friend of labor, huge friend of mine. And I'm like, yeah, sign on it. Help get co-sponsors. Get this thing passed. This is good. So it's nice that even though, you know, you talk a little bit politically about Trump and stuff and the divisiveness on the national level, and we all know the stalemates that have happened in Congress and in the Senate 7.5 years with the obstructionism of Obama and stuff and Mitch O'Connell. It's nice to see that our friends here in Central Ohio are working together.
Yeah.
You know, are working together. Both sides of the aisle, they're working together. And I think that's a huge thing, and I think we've got to continue to promote that because it's going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, it's sad that you have to take legislation and push legislation to do this kind of thing. It only makes sense that a lot of these young folks today go down this road. I know a lot of them don't want to get their hands dirty. Maybe they mm-hmm. want to go to college. But, boy, you think about how much college debt is out there and how many college kids do not have decent jobs today, and they have a whole lot of student debt. Here's a great opportunity for so many young people to actually get paid while they are learning and then have that skill that nobody can take away from them. You know, that's the beauty of this whole thing.
And these are generational changing careers. I mean, and that's not my words. That's Councilman Shannon Hart. You know, he appointed me to my brother's keeper here in Columbus. We're working with youth, African-American youth, to try to promote, you know, job opportunities for them and career opportunities. And it's like he said, we've got to let these kids know, you know, instead of working $10, $11, $12 an hour working at a fast food joint or a carryout in their neighborhood, you know, they can work in their neighborhood building schools and libraries and roads and bridges,
mm-hmm.
and they can make $60,000, $70,000 a year. That's generational changing. They're changing, you know, their family one generation right there. It's a direct path to the middle class. And, you know, I talk about this all the time. As we're getting squeezed from the top, our baby boomers are getting ready to retire and are retiring now. As we're getting squeezed from the top and then squeezed from the bottom with the improving economy, we are going to need people.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to need people. We need to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us now with our older members retiring and the economy getting better and us needing more members to keep up with the pace of the workload. And we've got to grow our ranks, and we've got to improve the communities in which we work in. And there's no better way than going into these high schools and these local job fairs and stuff, and also these community centers, and letting these kids and young adults know that these opportunities are there and they're right there in their neighborhoods.
There you go. All right, Dorsey, great thought. Let's stay on that theme for the coming months. You take care, keep up the fight, and we'll talk to you in a month, all right?
Sounds good. Let's hope that the people down at the State House chill the next 4 weeks. When I'm on next month, we can talk maybe about some important stuff, some stuff that's a lot funner to talk about, like the Cavs and the 6-game winning streak and their march towards the NBA Finals. And if they continue to play like they are now and they're peaking, you know, like you said off the air, you know, bring on Golden State. We're ready. We are ready.
I'm ready for that show. All right, buddy.
Me too.
Take care. All right.
All right.
Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Quick break.